You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Hey, happy Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. You were tuned in. Well, actually, we're tuning into God's frequency now. God is always broadcasting. He's got a word for you today. It's going to come through the only book out of 66 books that we have in our Bible where God promises you a blessing. If you read this book, if you've got ears to hear what he's saying, and if you keep the things written in it, because the time is short. We're in the book of Revelation here on the radio. These are some of the things you hear here on WGOD is the Sunday sermons, and you just heard where we're at. We are in the book of Hebrews. That's where we will be this Sunday morning. We will be looking at, well, my sermon Sunday is entitled A Change in the Law. And this is what the author of Hebrews is writing. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote as well. There's complete symmetry here. The author of Hebrews says, since there's been a change in priesthood, of necessity, there has been a change of the law. This is why when we get into chapter 8, which is where we're going to be here today, he's going to say that the old covenant has become obsolete and is ready to vanish away. That's why so many people hate the Apostle Paul in these messages, because they don't like that. The old covenant is passing away, and it's becoming and has become obsolete. The Apostle Paul called it a ministry of condemnation and a ministry of death. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning at 10:30. Now, Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at around 10:35. We start Wednesdays at 6. I am in the book of 2 Corinthians. It's verse by verse. That's what we do here at this church. We focus on the Word of God. There's a famine out here of the Word of God. You're not hearing it very much, and that's what we do here. So we focus on that. We leave the other outstanding programs and things for other people. We focus on the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do here today. We're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 1. Let's pray. Lord God, we exalt you in the house here today. No better place to be than gathered together to hear your word. Lord, we worship you through listening. We worship you through doing what you say in your word. Lead us and guide us. Lord, we pray your word back to you. You promised us blessed if we hear and read and keep these things you're going to reveal to us today. Draw close to us now. Speak to us through your word. Help us to be doers of your word as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are in the book of Revelation. We're in the first chapter. These programs, you can download the podcast. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, there's a little built-in app made by Apple. It's called the podcast. It's a little pink app. On there, if you search for the name of this program, WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time, this will show up right there. You can subscribe to this podcast. These will be in your inbox, the Sunday sermons, and these as well here every day. Sundays by 12 or 1 o'clock. The videos from the sermons are uploaded on our YouTube channel. Same name. Well, actually, it's Island Community Church on YouTube. The sermons from every Sunday are uploaded on there. Okay, the scene in heaven. We're with the Apostle John. He's just been instructed to write down. He's been instructed by the Lord to write down these messages, to write down what he's about to tell them here, coming up in chapter 2, and send it to these seven churches. And these seven churches form a little circle here around Patmos where he's at. So the letters are going to go in order to where the postman would go next with these letters as he delivers them. Now let's pick it up here in chapter 1, verse 12. John speaking. Then I turned to see this voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Wow, what an awesome description. Things like this, these things led me to become a Christian when they certainly strengthened my faith when I just sat down and just pictured myself in God's throne room. What an awesome spectacle and an awesome scene this is. So the white represents purity. His eyes, like a flame of fire, is like two laser beams shooting out of his face. Fine brass represents strength. The many, or the rushing waters, like the surf crashing against the rocks, this represents authority. Verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Boy, imagine seeing this. Now, John saw this, and look at John's response when he ran into Jesus Christ. Out of the New American Standard, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Important lesson to be learned here. This is the legitimate response of the person who has just seen God face to face. Remember, no one has seen the Father, but the Father is revealed through the Son. As he said to Philip or Thomas, those who have seen me have seen the Father. So how can you say, show me the Father? Once you've seen me, you've seen him. So this is the response when you come face to face and see God. I fell at his feet like a dead man. When Isaiah saw him in Isaiah chapter 6, he fell on his face as well, and he cried out. He said, woe is me, for I am ruined. One translation says, I'm undone, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts. Anything short of that, friend, is what I like to say colloquially, that's just too much linguine. You see, you've had too much spicy food before you've gone to bed, or anyone else who sees Jesus and you read about it in their books. If you spend $40 and buy their book, you read about how these people yuck it up with Jesus when they go up to heaven every other week. They hang out, they chuckle, and they have a good time. No, that's not the response for running into the Son of God face to face. When people ran into him, they fell on their face like a dead man. Or they cried out, I'm ruined. I've just seen God. You don't yuck it up with God when you see him. You fall on your face like a dead man. When you see Jesus in those laser beam eyes, penetrate your soul. Man, oh man, you know what you do when you see Jesus? I'll tell you what you do. You take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground. When you run into him, you take your shoes off. And now, here is the Lord's response to his old friend John. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, Mephobu. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, so be it. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Now, more on this later, as he says this again later. He says, I've got the keys. I've got the keys of Hades. Some translations say hell, but it's the word Hades. It's the Sheol in the Old Testament. Not the word hell. That's the Greek word Gehenna. That's a whole different word. This is just the place of the unseen, the place of the dead. Good and bad went there up until the Lord was crucified. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, we read, after the temple curtain was torn in two and the Lord Jesus went down, everyone else came up. But until then, you see, I have the keys of Hades, not hell. If you end up in hell, you're not getting out of that place. Hell is the final destination after you've been judged at the great white throne judgment. In once we get to chapter 20, a year from now, when we get to chapter 20 on this program, after you've been judged at the great, after unbelievers have been judged, because you won't be judged at the great white throne judgment, because Jesus Christ took your judgment upon himself when you called on the name of the Lord and received him as your Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul writes, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not going to stand at the great white throne judgment because you have already been redeemed. You've been redeemed. You have been forgiven. Your sins have been placed on the Son. We were just in our Bible study just last night. I'm recording this on Thursday. Wednesday night, we were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We were looking at the two different people that were made. You've got two people that were made. First, you got the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who the Bible said was made to be sin. That's why it was dark for 3 hours, I can imagine. No one would even recognize him. He was unrecognizable. Jesus Christ was made to be sin so that you could be made into the righteousness of God. What a thing, huh? Boy, God has been good to us, hasn't he? He's been good to you. His Son made into sin, you made into the righteousness of God. Righteousness is, we could call that, accepted in the beloved. That's a legal word where God's the judge. He's got that gavel. He slams down his gavel. He looks at you, friend, and he declares you officially not guilty. And then he'll say, come, enter thou into the joy of your Lord. So just know and understand, sometimes when you see the word hell in the King James Version, it should be either Sheol, which is the Hebrew word, or Hades, which is the Greek word. Like when we read in Psalm 16, which was quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost, where he says, you will not leave my soul in hell, is not what that means. The Lord Jesus has never gone to hell. He descended into the realm of the dead, which is Hades, which contained both the unrighteous and the righteous. We like to call that Abraham's bosom. Where back in the day, everyone went down. No one went up. We read in the first chapter of John, no one has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. He's the first fruits. He's the firstborn. He is preeminent. He said, I am the resurrection. It all starts with him. After he was resurrected, Matthew 27, 51, then the souls of those were seen walking again in Jerusalem. They saw his Uncle Harry, who had died 20 years earlier, walking around, you see. And that's when the centurion said, truly, this is the Son of God, when he seen his Uncle Harry walking around back there in Jerusalem. So no one understands sometimes when you see the word hell, it's not the word Gehenna, which is an eternal fire, which is the Greek word for the lake of fire and for hell, the place that someone is going after judgment. The first two residents of hell, Antichrist and false prophet. We'll read that when we get to chapter 19, verse 20. So here we go again. Verse 18, he said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. When we read amen, remember it means so be it. That is, we could say today, it is what it is. I am he who lives. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. So be it. It is what it is. And, he's not done yet, I've got the keys of Hades and of death. Now, keys can either lock things or unlock them. Jesus says he's got the very keys to Hades or to hell itself. And he has the power and the authority to use those keys to unlock the door and let you out forever. Or he has the keys and the power and the authority to lock the very door of hell and lock you in forever. This is what he says. I've got the keys. He can do either one of two things. Lock you in or click that tumbler and let you out forever. Or at least until it's showtime. And everything that is in Hades is going to come out and stand before Jesus Christ and will be made to pay for what they've done in their lives. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Thessalonian church, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Verse 10, when he comes in that day, capital D, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So let me ask the question, while I still can, that is, you still have ears to hear, you're still alive here today, here it is on the 6th of June, 2025. If you're alive to hear this message here today, let me ask you the question while I can. You see, it's still today. That's why it says, you know, today is accepted time. Paul says today is accepted time. Paul says today is a day of salvation. The author of Hebrews says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. But let me ask you the question here today on this Friday. Will the Lord unlock the gates of death for you? Or will he turn that key as you hear the tumbler click and lock you into Hades until that day of judgment? Now, here's the last few verses here of chapter 1. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. All right, this is probably the main most important verse in this entire book to help you understand here. He says, write the things which, first of all, he says, write the things which you have seen. That is, the things up to this point. Heaven is real. I've been there. He's an eyewitness. Remember, this is an eyewitness. The whole Bible is written to you by eyewitnesses. It's eyewitnesses who've seen these things. They've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul's been there. He's been to heaven. Matter of fact, Paul says, the things that I see, it's against the law for me to even tell you what I've seen. He said, it's not permitted for me to speak and tell you what I've seen on the other side. So he tells John here, though, he says, write these things that you've seen and the things which are, that is, these seven letters to the churches, We're still in the present tense here. The things you've seen, the things which are, and then he says, the things which shall be. That's chapters 4 through 22. Now, remember back when we started and I was sharing with you how to properly interpret the book of Revelation. We are called futurists, that we believe that chapters 4 through 22 have not happened yet. That the end of chapter 3, that's why you don't hear the word church mentioned anymore after Laodicea and the end of chapter 3 with that great promise to everyone who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And that you don't see the word church mentioned again in the whole book of Revelation. This 7 is a supernatural number. It represents all the churches throughout all the church ages. You could find yourself in any one of these churches. He's not just writing to 7 churches. Otherwise, this book wouldn't apply to you. It would only apply to them and not to you. You could find yourself in any one of these 7 types of churches. We're going to start the first one here on Monday. Ephesus, that's what's known as the loveless church. They left their first love. The second church, Smyrna, has gone down in history as the persecuted church. You could find yourself in the persecuted church. Throughout the ages, many people have. Even today, it might not apply here in the United States, but people today will find themselves in the persecuted church. The third group, you could find yourself in the compromising church, starting in verse 12. You could find yourself a member of the corrupt church in verse 18. If, by the way, you are in any one of those churches, I suggest that you leave. The next one here in chapter 3 is the dead church of Sardis. You could find yourself a card-carrying member of that church, the dead church. They're deceived. They think that they are alive. He says they got a killer rep that they're alive. See, they might have an excellent program. They might have a great food program. They might have a great youth group. They might have really big amps. They might have wah-wah pedals on the guitar. I don't know, but they must have some kind of reputation, you see, that they're great. And Jesus said that you're dead. Or you could find yourself in the faithful church, the church at Philadelphia. The faithful church had no correction from the Lord like these others do. Lastly, you could find yourself in the lukewarm church, Laodicea, and that wraps up chapter 3 here when he gets into that, the lukewarm church. You could find yourself today in any one of those 7. Those 7 represent the church age from the very beginning, from the day of Pentecost, all the way up until when the door is shut and Jesus is going to say, come up here. And those are going to be the first words he's going to say when we get to chapter 4, when he says to John, come up here. So you could find yourself in any one of these church ages. So it's not just written to those 2,000 years ago. Otherwise, that would have no application to you whatsoever. But sure it does. And we'll get to that. And we're going to see and hear a side of the Lord Jesus we never heard in the Gospels. So write the things which you have seen, write the things which are, that is these 7 letters we're going to start on Monday, and the things which shall be. Verse 20, the last verse for today. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw on my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are, you know, I love the way he does this. He takes these hard-to-understand texts. He's going to do it throughout this book, and he's going to tell you flat out what they mean. These difficult-to-understand passages, how is he holding a star? You see, understand the symbol. Remember that as we go through. Understand the symbol, and you'll understand the book. And now he's going to tell you what this means. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. I leave you today with this important question here on this Friday, heading into this weekend. Will the Lord Jesus set you free from the gates of hell and unlock the door? Or will he turn that old lock and confine you to hell up until that great day of judgment? The charge over you, friend, is this: God loves you. What do you do with that? Will you embrace it? Or does that make you angry? That makes you angry, friend. I just want to put that bug in your ear. You've been deceived. And you've been deceived by someone that hates you. You're listening to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.